When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we continue where we left off, let's hear who we have at the table, players and characters. Han, will you begin?
Hello, I'm Hannah, playing Winnie Hemlock.
Brennan?
I'm Brennan, I'm playing Arcos Gerard.
And Rob?
I'm Rob, playing Magnus Vale, Master of Day and Night.
And I am Amelia Somm, your GM. And Craig has just said that they know why the gods are, or why the magic around the gods is being weird.
I'm not surprised that you know. What I will say is that how do you keep something like that a secret? Because if I had that information, I would spill it immediately.
I mean, that's probably why you don't have that information.
Look, you make a good point, but what I'm saying is, spill, lad, spill. Also, how do you know these things?
Yeah, no, well, okay. So, you know, well, I mean, we talked a little bit about how my childhood was kind of weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of you, my childhood was kind of weird. I think at some point Huron mentioned that I was good luck.
Yeah, he mentioned that pretty early on.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of am. That's part of why they kept me around. The other part is that, you know, in any sort of situation, the Browl, you know, there are the people who do politics and there are the people who are just interested in war. And then there are the sort of religious fanatics. So, yeah, they kind of kept me around because I am, I guess it sounds dumb to say, like, kind of chosen, you know, by Browd. I mean, obviously, I didn't tell you at the beginning because that didn't seem like a good idea. And then you all were kind of annoying, kind of shitty for a while. So I didn't really tell you anything. Then it just kind of felt like I was waiting too long. So I just didn't. But yeah.
So you're chosen of Browd and you're wearing the crown of Anemeros. So what's that relationship like?
Well, that's actually kind of the thing. I thought I was, you know, chosen by Browd, but there was the crown of Anemaros, and then the weird dark thing with Furia and when we were, you know, when we were in, well, oh, I don't think you guys remember, do you? In Ulfair, the shadows, you know, the two selves that are separate but part of one whole.
Well, I remember.
I mean, that dynamic, that was Lilt and Raelish. And while you all were kind of doing your own thing, that was something.
So you were speaking with Lilt and Raelish during that time?
Yeah, and kind of with Ulfair too, they were there.
So you're a conduit to the gods?
Yeah.
But not any particular god that you're, like, bound to?
No, I'm kind of collecting all of them. They keep seeking me out.
So what you're saying is that you want to become the very best. Like, no one ever was. To catch them all is your
test. I was
going to
make a joke about the Infinity Gauntlet, but that works too.
I was definitely thinking Pokemon.
I just couldn't get the Pokemon theme song out of my head. So, okay. That is quite the collection.
It's strange.
It sounds peculiar.
But I get the feeling that they're preparing for something.
Well, we know that Mausolea is the final resting place of some sort of divine entity that was struck down thousands of years ago. It seems like we're being set up.
Yeah, I think so.
So, is it a necessity, do you think, to gather all the gods? Because we could find a way to get Jorgen on the line pretty quickly if we really need to.
Yeah. I don't know if we have to make it happen. I think it'll happen on its own, but maybe it happening on its own is because we make it happen. But no.
He'll make an appearance when he feels it's appropriate. I'm sure. I think there's, like, a note of trepidation around Magnus of, like, I don't think he really wants to talk to Jorgend. I think he's, like, trying to not have to deal with a lot of that at the moment. I think he's also scared of, like, needing to give up something to do that.
But, I mean, they've kind of all reached out to me first, so we don't have to... I don't think we have to do anything. It's just... There's movement happening, and from what I gather, it doesn't. It's new.
And it sort of seems like we're at least indirectly responsible for some of that movement.
Yeah, well, you all are important.
Well, finally, a compliment.
They roll their eyes.
Not sure if being regarded as important to a bunch of gods is maybe the compliment that we want.
If anything, that sounds, it sounds kind of dangerous. I'm with Winnie on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, let's just all pack it up and call it a day. We got far enough, right?
I'm just saying, it might not be the best form of flattery if we got a target on our back.
Oh, it's at least a little cool and you know it. And we did meet Lilt and Raelish. It wasn't quite the party idea that I had, but hey, we got there.
It's less like you met them and more you embodied their essence dynamic. But, yeah.
Actually sounds kind of cool to me. You know, mortal danger is mortal danger, but, you know, Magnus, are you not the one who always said, if you die, at least look cool doing it?
That is generally the idea of how I want to go out, yeah.
Well, I don't have any plans about dying anytime soon.
What's the worry about? Gods, no gods, death, no debt. Fuck it, bring it on.
Avi, earmuffs.
I don't think Avi's here.
Yeah, I think Avi went to bed.
I thought he was gone. Okay, good, good. I'm not swearing in front of the kid.
I would be less worried about the swearing and more about the talk more of impending death.
More about talking about mom dying.
Fair enough.
We still have a few more gods yet to collect, then. And one to resurrect, it sounds like. Not something we can accomplish in a day. So, do you have any insight about how the magic is actually changing?
It's like it's getting ready for something. That makes sense. Like, all of the gods are preparing for it. So, whatever.
Like a fight? Like a meeting? Like, is it, like, good vibes, bad vibes? You know, angry vibes?
No,
anything
it's
else?
Not. And they kind of, like, are staring at this spot on a table and, like, zone out a little bit. Like, they're lost in thought. And you see these, like, these tears of blood kind of coming out of the corner of their eye. And then it goes from blood to this sort of golden white liquid. And it's maybe like less than 10 seconds. And they say, it's not a fight. Or maybe it is. There's no anger, there's just something is going to change. And it's like bracing for impact.
Well, I don't like the sound of that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all, really.
Well, I suppose we should do our damnedest to make that impact as soft and pillowy as possible, then.
Or prevent it from happening. Any impact at all.
Minimal impact possible is a good policy, indeed.
No impact. No crash. Impact. No destruction.
I don't know if that's possible.
Interesting. So, and you've communicated with each one of these gods, and it sounds like taking a part of their essence with you. Each time.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's like they're all tethered to me. Sometimes they talk over each other, sometimes they talk to me, or it's like I can just sort of, I'm connected to whatever they're doing, but not directly and not all of the time and not everything.
Oh, that has some worrying implications. If you were to, say, make contact with all of the gods, and then we go to Mausolea and talk to some unknown other deity, doesn't that sort of set up the idea that whatever impact is happening is going to be happening through you?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that something that you really want to have happen?
I mean, guess it depends on how it ends.
Well, we should start thinking about how that's going to happen, because I don't think that we should really go through with our plans if it means a cosmic dogfight happening in your soul. Seems like a pretty bad outcome to me.
Well, I've kind of spent my whole life expecting this kind of thing.
Like this specific thing? Because that would be a really crazy...
Not-
this thing to be like
specific, but this scale, I guess, kind of been preparing for something like this since I was born.
That is the question that concerns me. You say your whole life, but since you were born, how would you have the idea of the scale of your life upon birth?
Well, not really since I was born. I was raised in that. Not literally. I didn't know when I was a baby, but the people who raised me kind of made that clear.
And how did they know?
Prophecies, convening with deities, projections. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it. Training me for it.
Damn.
Wow, that goes really deep.
It sure does.
Well, if there's anything that we can do to help you figure this out, we would love to help.
No, I think you guys have been doing good. It's been honestly kind of a relief being around people who, I mean, you guys are weird, but like, you're not weird like that around me. And at that, Julian kind of holds his hand.
You're in good company in terms of strange lives and weird clandestine destinies. So, we'll help you see it through to the end, whatever the end is.
Speaking of, did we need to do that bathtub thing?
Yes, I think that would be a good thing for us to do.
What were the actual instructions that we had for this again?
Literally just go next to a body of water at least as big as a tub.
Okay.
That was it. That was the only instruction we got.
That's all you need.
Magnus is going to go to the infernal spa and just draw a bath, get the steam going. He's gonna go to the changing room, grab a robe, gonna hop in the bath. You know, we're gonna chill out there. Everyone likes a business meeting in a sauna, right?
Yeah,
everyone's
wait.
Down with that?
When you say hop in the bath, what size is this bath you're hopping into?
Well, the infernal spas, you know,
like a bathhouse bath kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Picture like Japanese bathhouse style, yeah, except with cool. The souls of the damned helping to heat the coals that produce the steam.
Yeah, you know? Sure, sure. Every infernal spa has it. We know,
yes, of course.
It would be so much funnier if you were in a regular bathtub, but this makes so much more sense. Mm-hmm. So you get in your bath. Are you guys also joining in the bath, or what are you guys doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wait, the statue's not up yet, right? Just to be sure.
Yeah, it's up. It's definitely in the infernal spa too.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Everyone hops in the bath. Is Avi? I guess Avi's still asleep. It's still bedtime.
No, I make sure that Avi is asleep in his room and the door's locked.
Yeah. No kids at the hot tub party, please.
He has tried to open it several times. and then, you know, he's gone back to sleep. So y'all are sitting in the tub. Alanin is also there, like just kind of hanging out for the rest of the evening if it's cool.
Is Askarath with us?
Yeah.
Askarath's here, right?
Askarath's here. It just hasn't been relevant, but yeah, she's here.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. But you all are just sitting. Do you do or say anything?
I think Magnus just like while everybody's like sitting in silence, he's just like lounging with like a towel over his eyes, and he just like without saying anything, like reaches out and turns a knob, and just like there's a slight bit of bubbles that start rising from the bathwater.
Yeah. Smells like infernal lavender.
Mm. Slightly spicy. Yum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so burnt lavender.
You guys sit in silence for a few minutes, hanging out there. Okay, let me think. Well, one of you roll a d8 for me.
Yes, I want to do it. I love rolling dice, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, re-roll a 1 if you roll it.
8!
You all are sitting in silence for a while. Arcos.
Something
pulls at your ankle and pulls you underneath the water.
Oh, God. Why?
Magnus, do you have actual demons in this damn spa?
Well, they shouldn't be able to do that.
Arcos is thrashing under the water or something. I guess,
I'm going to try to help him out.
What the fuck, man?
I can roll strength if you want me to.
I'm going to try and roll... What the fuck are you even doing with that? I'm gonna roll strength. Can Winnie also roll strength and see if he could pull me out?
Yeah. Let me know how many raises you get.
Got it. All right. Strength.
This probably won't get many. I don't know how strong I am.
Let's go. Okay, oh my god, that's a critical hit on both. So
let's 16. Go. We're strong in the infernal spa.
I got an 8.
16 plus 5, 21.
Okay, the 21. Yeah, Winnie, your instinct is to go help Arcos, who does not actually need that much help. So here's what happens, Arcos. You get pulled under. You feel something grab your ankle, and mostly because you are not expecting it, you're caught off guard. You get pulled down. Now, this is like a bathhouse bath, so it's not incredibly deep, but you notice when you get pulled that the water goes cold, and you're getting pulled down, down. You kick at something, and you start thrashing your way up to the top. Winnie, I mean, there's lots of bubbles, and there's lots of things everywhere, so you know, you kind of see him go down, and you go and pull, and he, grabbing your arm, almost pulls you in toward him with how much strength he has. And you pull him up, and Arcos, you are gasping for breath as you surface, and then you see another humanoid figure kind of head above the water, just like, oh, that never gets old.
Hi. Humanoid figure.
Hello. God. You see what appears to be a mermaid. A merman. Actually, very gender ambiguous. Like, in the, like...
Very gender mermaid.
Very gender mermaid.
Shout out to mermaid. Gotta be one of my favorite genders.
I've got to...
they got you so good.
Shut the fuck up. Why me? Good God.
All right. You're Lilith's friend.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, we need some help with some ocean travel.
Ocean travel? Well, you're in the right place. What do you need?
Well, we recently heard tale of a lost continent beneath the sea on the eastern coast. A place that was once referred to as Mausolea.
Interesting name. Can't say I've heard it before, but continents sinking beneath the sea, it's a common story.
Yes, we think that this is the civilization that really inspired all of the stories that have been so commonplace throughout our society.
Right, and you're going to be the ones to find it.
That would be the hope, but we need to start with actually finding a way to survive in the regular ocean before we go to the potentially lost part of the ocean.
Right, the part that usually is littered with shipwrecks from people who all think they're different than the ones who came before, huh?
Exactly.
Except we are actually different than the ones who came before.
Yeah, Craig here is chosen by multiple gods.
Many, many gods. So many gods.
Oh, some might say all of them, even the dead ones.
Two things happen when you say this. One, Craig looks mortified, just overcome with the feeling of, this is why I don't tell you guys anything. Two,
that's so fair, though. I mean, it's true.
We gotta get shit done. We can't play, we don't play games anymore. We just gotta, we gotta get through it.
Yeah.
Also, is the mermaid Australian?
The mermaid is whatever accent it sounds like.
The mermaid is from Down Under, for sure.
But, oh, also, they kind of look at Craig, and their eyes, which are sort of these, like, horizontal more than vertical...
pupils?
What's the word? Pupils. Yeah, they're kind of like the square rectangular ones, rather than circular. Kind of squint at Craig, and they go, huh. Interesting.
He's fascinating. Anyway, so do you think that you could be of any assistance to our quest?
Yeah, sure. Lilith called in a favor, so I'm happy to help however I need to help. You want, what are you looking for, specifically?
Magnus is going to look over at Winnie and Arcos to see if they want to take the lead on this.
I mean, I guess help in trying to find it. Like, we're, you know, we breathe on the land. We can't breathe underwater. So, like, some sort of method of travel, some sort of method of search that we could possibly use. Right?
All right, well...
I look back at everyone else.
I can tell you that, I mean, we also don't go to that part of the ocean. It's very tumultuous, even underwater. The entire place is kind of a shit show. I can help you with water breathing. That I can do.
That would be great. That's a great start.
I can help you with a craft and maybe find someone dumb enough to sail it for you.
Perfect.
Speaking our language...
I'm no idea how to find a lost continent under the ground, if I'm being honest. Or under the sea.
Yeah. Neither do we.
That's the same here.
But that's also all our job, so we'll figure that one out as well.
Yeah. That's our burden to bear.
All right. When are you planning on heading off?
Well, I don't know.
Start of the week. Top of the week.
Yeah, how's Tuesday? First thing.
Tuesday?
I gotta drop my son off back at school, you know?
Right.
Yeah, what are your timelines like? Is we're sort of down to go wherever, but, you know, we've also been gone for like half a year, and this is my first night back in the tower, so I could really stand some R&R before we get going again. But, you know, fate of the world and all that's on the line, so...
Right, I was going to say Lilith made it seem a little bit urgent, so...
Yeah, when Lilith said something life or death, you know for sure that it's legitimately life or death.
Yeah.
In fairness, I'm unemployed now, but yes... Urgency. Great. Plenty of time.
So, where does that land us?
Monday?
Monday? Monday? All right.
It's what, Friday now? We said it was Friday.
Yeah. Where
the best part of the adventure is when you schedule which day of the week it starts.
We have 2 days off. Yeah, it's the, you know, labor unions and all that.
We're in the mountains now. You, judging by kind of... licks their finger and kind of and puts it up in the air. Judging by the seclusion of this tower, I assume you can teleport someone here? Yes, you? Weird
yes.
one?
Yeah, that's making a lot of assumptions about who's comparatively weird in this group of people, but yes.
Fair enough. right, I can... Well, how about this? I'll give you a place. You show up. I'll have a boat. I'll have maybe a crew, we'll see. And water breathing's easy.
That Perfect. Would be so incredible. That's everything that we need and more.
Excellent.
I'm sure this means little to you, but bless you. Actually, it doesn't count because I'm not employed, but thank you. May good things happen to you or something.
Would you like some food or anything? Like, can we offer anything in return?
Yeah, you don't have to go right away. We can continue chilling in the spa if you want. You know,
yeah, I don't mind chilling in the spa. I wouldn't say no to, I wouldn't say no to a snack or drink.
Coming right up, and I go to the kitchen to go get them a snack.
And a drink.
Of course. What's your alcohol choice?
Oh, actually, don't worry about it, Winnie. Magnus is going to, like, turn a stone in the infernal spa, and, like, a mini bar is going to, like, flip out from the wall.
Yeah.
Wait, is that see... the premium business? Fuck.
That's what your subscription pays for, yes. That's what gets financed with the 5 gold a month.
they like push their hand underneath the water out toward the minibar, and you could see a little wave ripple, and then like a water version of their hand extend outward and like mix them a drink and pull it back to them, and they're just sitting there with this like water hand sipping.
Incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Magnus makes his drink with his normal human hands and sort of nods appreciatively and offers up a cheers.
Yeah, you meet it.
Yeah.
To finding a lost continent.
I'll drink to that.
When he comes back with like a platter of like crackers and cheese and
I was hoping for charcuterie.
Veggies.
They didn't say that about charcuterie.
Yeah, because I don't know why, but like in my head they're probably vegetarian. So I come back with a vegetarian platter.
Yeah, the ocean's really known for its ability to sustain agriculture. It's really
You know what? This particular mermaid is a vegetarian.
Slay. Okay. Slay, I clocked the vibes.
Yeah. But on the real, they probably would. I mean, I feel like most mermaids probably aren't. This one is, but also like they probably wouldn't have a whole lot of experience eating land meat anyway, so it might upset their tummy even if they weren't a vegetarian. You don't know, but you know, you played it on the safe side. It paid off. They seem to be enjoying the food. It's like, all right, so tell me what's going on here. I it's not everyone who gets Lilith to call in a favor.
Well, yeah. My relationship with Lilith is a bit weird because her and my wife used to date, but anyway, we're basically on this like really long convoluted quest to save the world, and like this is like sort of the last part of it. Like it's all kind of culminating for us.
Magnus
is, like,
right. Wait, who is your wife?
Mortalia Vale.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she's dead now, but
Oh, sorry to hear it. She was great.
Yeah, she was great. But, so that was also a big part of this. Like, I was also searching for her for a long time. Because, like, she more, like, disappeared than really died. Magnus is getting really drunk during this conversation. I guess it's just gonna spiel a little bit with this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, we did all that in Old Fair and came back. And now we're sort of picking up where we left off 6 months ago. And then we got in contact with you, so.
Oh, some heavy shit.
Yeah, so what's your story? How'd you get indebted to Lilith?
Oh, she pulled me out of a bind a while back. It's embarrassing. I got kidnapped. Really embarrassing.
Oh, no, don't be embarrassed. I've been kidnapped loads of times.
Yeah. But,
sometimes
no.
Twice in the
kidnapped,
same day.
Kidnapped, arrested.
kidnapped by the police state.
For the law. No. But she's great. I actually met her through Mortalia.
You knew her then, like personally.
Yeah, we knew each other. Mm.
Must have been before her and I got hitched.
Oh no, definitely before that. I'd hope.
Oh no, shit. Sorry. You had a thing with Mortalia too?
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was ages ago. But yeah.
Hell yeah, brother. Magnus is gonna like do the high five.
They look so conflicted about this high five. They awkwardly reciprocate. I banged your dead wife.
No, yeah, Mortalia had a lot of famous boyfriends and girlfriends throughout the years. I was really surprised when she settled down with me, actually. But
it's interesting. But you know, she's always the person who knew exactly what she wanted.
Yeah, that she did. Well, but she was a great person. It's fun meeting somebody that knew her when, you know, far before I did. There's a lot of history there that I unfortunately missed out on.
Yeah, well, you were both pretty young. It was puppy love. Nothing serious.
Well, and now fate brings us back around together. How fun is that?
Fate has a sense of humor about these things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Cackling all the way to the bank, that one.
Yeah, how did she end up passing, if you don't mind my asking?
Details are a bit fuzzy. Basically, she had cooked up a plan in secret, from what I can gather, to cast a quite large and intense ritual spell to suppress the corruption that had been leaking from the sea, that was being used by the Broud to colonize the land. I'm sure you've seen the corruption in the oceans as well.
It's more on the eastern side of the continent, so it hasn't gotten to where most of us live, but we've noticed.
Well, anyway, she cast some sort of very powerful spell to quell the corruption, so to speak. But from what I gather, what she did was sort of put a band-aid on the problem and not really solve the underlying source of that corruption. But whatever she did in that spell killed her, transcended her. I don't really know exactly which way to characterize it, but she is beyond me and beyond the veil, so to speak.
Sorry to hear that.
It's been a few years. It still stings. I'll never truly be over it, but at least for now I found a way to move on a bit. Start living more of my life, which she would have wanted. So, not saying it's a good thing, but it is what it is. And she wouldn't want me to stand around and cry about it.
And another drink.
To Mortalia.
To Mortalia. Do you all drink for a while? At some point, when they're very drunk, they say, there's nothing else, I probably better get going.
Yeah, are you, you sober enough to swim out of here?
Yeah, I'll figure it out one way or another.
Okay, you don't need, a designated swimmer or anything like that?
No, I've, kind of gestures to this, charm on their bracelet. It'll get me home.
Nice. Magnus is going to grip a piece of brick on the edge of the infernal spa and break it off and use elemental manipulation to form it into, a little bit of a, small enough to, fit on a charm bracelet. And it's going to have, the Phanium flower, carved into it, and says, "So you can find your way back to the spa if you need to rest or relax a different time."
Well, I won't turn that down. And takes it and fastens it to their bracelet. And you can also see there are several other charms around here, too. Says, "Well, it's a pleasure to meet you all. I'll see you promptly on Tuesday."
Tuesday. See you there.
And then dives down and disappears into the water.
I need to work on a better security system for this tower if I keep giving invites out.
Yeah, all right. Well, bedtime.
Magnus has been in a hot tub drinking for several hours. It's just so unsteady on his feet.
I'm sure you can, one of the infernal demon attendant sort of thing, or you can have, I am sure there's a tower protocol for drunk Magnus or drunk anyone.
I think the tower more so just helps guide you towards the right place that you need to go without.
Even if you make a wrong turn down a hallway, it still takes you to where you want to go.
Yeah, it's if you start to stumble, it actually just adjusts the leveling of the hallway so you can be, so it catches you upright.
Yeah. You're next to the stairs. Like, were the railings always 10 feet tall? I don't remember them being this. Yeah, Magnus stumbles back to his room. Now that he's an old man, the hangovers are atrocious. Magnus is going to need some of Arcos's healing in the morning for sure. But that's how you make connections. You know, when you recruit somebody for a job, you know, you gotta form the bond.
Can you tell Rob's works in law? Like, we gotta make connections. Let's all get drunk as hell.
Yes.
You all retreat to your rooms. The kiddos hang out in the spa for a while after y'all leave. They're young. They can keep drinking.
Yeah, Magnus realizes he's, like, leaving the spa, and it's, like, Julian and Craig and Julian's girlfriend. It's just like, yeah, it's good that I leave.
But you all head out. Is there anything specific you want to do over the next 2 days?
For me, I think at some point Winnie wants to get by herself somewhere on the tower outside and just kind of meditate and have an open mind, you know, thinking about how Ulfair told her, like, the forces are trying to talk to you and you're not listening. So she wants to sit and listen for a bit.
Yeah.
And see if anything comes out of that.
Did you say you want to be, like, on the outside of the tower or outside of the tower?
Like, it can be in, like, on a balcony on the tower. Yeah. Just somewhere where she's not going to be bothered.
I think you start going toward a balcony, and then the tower itself, you can tell it's sort of leading you upward, and you find yourself up in the observatory, which, since I've last described it, Benedict has cleaned. There are fresh cut flowers everywhere. You don't see a ghost, but you see that there is a sort of like a ladder up to a perch that you can access. It basically allows you, when the observatory windows are open, to like access the outside of that for maintenance and repairs. And so you're able to climb, and you, being who you are able to pretty deftly maneuver your way outside. So you are at the top of the observatory outside of the tower, your legs hanging over the opening where the telescope points out. And in this direction, you are looking at beyond the Eastern Sea. You see the mountains extend for a while. Relatively speaking, this is still toward the western end of the mountain range. It's not just on the edge, but it's like pretty close. The mountains extend for a few miles, and then the storm clouds of the distant ocean on the horizon. It's dark and quiet. There are a few clouds, but for the most part, the sky is open. The moon's close enough to the western horizon that you get an unimpeded view of the heavens.
Yeah, she's just gonna sit there, take some deep breaths, you know, meditating, eyes closed, and eventually just kind of says to no one or to everyone, I'm here. I'm listening.
And feel the wind blow, the low whistle. And at first it reminds you of that conversation you had with Avi about envy greeting you on the other side. And then it subsides and the whistle continues. You You're taking these slow, deep breaths. Your eyes looking outward and unfocused. Just taking in the light around you. And you become very aware of your heartbeat. You're thinking back to that time around the campfire and the embrace you have around Avi. And these thoughts are your own and they're of your own memories. But it feels as though there's something pulling them out of you in a way, or pulling them to the forefront of your mind. You're not looking at anything, yet something in this nothingness you feel, or you in this nothingness you're experiencing, reminds you of that. And that letter that you sent to Circle Sylvie, which, this idea of wanting Avi to follow in your footsteps, and then also wanting Avi to go far beyond where your footsteps could take him, giving him a connection to his other mother's side of the family and to Ulfair. And it's this desire when you love something or someone so much that you set everything out for them. But at some point, you have to let go. And then you're reminded again of that love that you feel for Envy. That even when she's gone, that you feel every day. And that in a part of yourself, just being able to move on and live in a world without her, you had to let her go. And that grief, or whether it's the idea of a life that you wanted to have but can't have, or a version of a person who no longer exists for one reason or another. And think about how big Avi has gotten every single time you see him. And he's your baby boy, but he's also someone else, and you have to get to know him. And there's that constant feeling of understanding that you have to release things. And you even think to Arcos, in a way, giving up the title of priest and what that means, so he can really understand where his faith is coming up from. And you think of Magnus and his desire to understand what's going on with Mortalia, and you think of Mortalia herself. From everything you've heard, what does it mean to transcend in the way that she has transcended? And over again, there's this feeling that in order to grow, you have to leave behind parts of yourself. In order to get anywhere, nothing else, you're leaving behind footprints. And in that, you immediately feel the opposite. You feel how terrifying it is to let any part of yourself or your life be unknown, and the pain of that loss. And there's a part of you that wonders if you hadn't let Envy go off by herself, or if you hadn't let people make those choices, and you worry about what's going to happen if you let Avi become a part of Ulfair and grow into these traditions that you didn't want for him, or if he does grow up within Circle Sylvie and gets hurt, or perhaps if, you know, this connection that Arcos has severed with his god, even if in a formal sense, you're all getting weaker, and it's because you're letting these things go, that maybe if you can just hold on to everything tight, you can keep it here where it's safe And it doesn't matter if it doesn't grow. It doesn't matter if it doesn't change, because at the end of the day, it'll be here and it'll be with you. And as you kind of develop into that part, you recognize those as, if I can assume, not the way Winnie feels about this, evidenced by your behavior, but that love twisted into something else, you are experiencing it in this moment as if it is from you. You're in the same way you are experiencing those other emotions through the lens of your own life and your own memories. Here, you're experiencing this other feeling through that same lens. And something is holding on so tight that it may be whatever it is, in whatever sense it is, it's hurting itself. And it's hurting whatever, whoever, however it loves. If love is even the emotion it's feeling, or if that's just how you're interpreting the circumstance.
Okay. A lot to chew on there. I think as all these emotions are swirling through Winnie's head, probably tears streaming down her face just at the thought of a lot of these things. And if that's the end of the experience, I think she just opens her eyes back up and takes in the view again and nods and knows that she needs to analyze everything that she has just experienced over some time.
And you do that, and as you sit for however long you do, you get to a state of equilibrium and normalcy, and you begin to head down. And as you move, for a second, you feel a catch in your heart, as if something is grabbed around it and holding it in place just for a moment. And on the other side of this spectrum, where first you were feeling that desire to hold and be held, you are feeling that stifling and that panic of not being able to move or grow in the way you want. And for a brief moment, you are worried that you've tapped into something and that whatever it is going to keep you physically here. But as soon, and I'm talking like a fraction of a second, like when you think you're about to hit another step and you come down on the ground to realize that you were already on a flat earth, it abates and the panic subsides as instantaneously as it came upon you.
Interesting.
And you can go back to your room.
Yeah, I do that.
You do that. You check on Avi. He's sound asleep, cuddling with Truffy. There's so much dirt in the bed.
I kind of whoosh it away. Unless it makes him comfortable. It's like, does Truffy need the dirt in the bed?
Truffy likes the dirt in the bed. Truffy's okay. It's less like Truffy's not gonna die if you move the dirt, but you also get the vibes that this is like, we're on vacation, there are no rules.
Right. Okay. I keep it there then.
Yeah. And you all head to sleep, and I think that's where we'll end for this week.